Now, it's time to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins, brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett & White, the professional builder's choice. And, you know, Bruce, when I think of vacation, I mean this, I think of you.
Well, you know, Marty, I'm pretty much always on vacation. I just came off a 7-weeker, and I'm just about to start an 8-weeker.
Well, it's true. I mean, come on. You know, you have the Hawaii thing, right, in the middle of the winter.
Yeah.
And then
it's only a couple of weeks. But,
yeah, but I tell you, there's just something about, and then you used to go to the tennis.
Yeah, well, that was, I don't know if you'd call working Wimbledon a vacation. It's an awesome thing. I mean, the Chronicle's been incredibly nice to me over the years. Our budget problems are tight now, but I've done a bunch of Wimbledons and a bunch of U.S. Opens in New York, and you know, those are great places to be. The workload is really extreme, so vacation might be stretching it, but then again, when it's over, you're in London or New York. So,
now, is it tougher to cover Wimbledon than a World Series?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, Wimbledon is all day, and you know, when I'm over there, I mean, the last couple I've been writing columns for the Chronicle and then turn around and writing them for the Sports Illustrated website. I do a weekly tennis column for them, so it's pretty much 10 a.m. until about 10 p.m., just completely nonstop. And it's kind of frantic. You know, there's so many things going on. It's not like sitting there and focusing on the bottom of the sixth.
Okay. You know? All right. I'm glad I asked the question.
Yeah.
Because have you ever covered the Masters or anything like that?
Yeah, I've done all the majors, actually. Not in great volume, but I did the Greg Norman Faldo Masters. I sort of begged the Chronicle. I said, you know, we have our golf writers and they get locked in, but I've managed to score that one, and it was an unforgettable experience.
Wow, and then, of course, you have the surfing, you know, the Mavericks and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, that's kind of in my blood, being an old Malibu surf dog. I'm still very active in that. I've written about it extensively, and when Mavericks comes around, it's kind of in the wheelhouse. You know, it's something I'm really familiar with, and I do get to the North Shore of Oahu for surfing somewhere between 2 and 3 weeks a year. It used to be when I had a lot of more time off in the winter, you know, covering baseball and getting all that time off, I'd go over there for 6 weeks, and that really is a vacation. That's like dropping off the map, but I still get over there. It's got to be during my kids' vacation now, Christmas vacation, but we still do it.
All right. Well, I tell you this honestly. When I think of you and when I look in the paper, did you write anything today? I didn't see the three-dot lounge today.
Yeah, it started on the front. I was writing about San Jose State. I went down there for their opener Thursday
all right,
night.
They
played real well, and some mostly college football, although I did have a note in there about probably the end of Andres Torres as a Giant, and they should definitely look into Bronson Arroyo.
Ah, good. You know, you and I talked about that, about Arroyo, and as soon as we said it, you saw what happened to him last night.
You know, I haven't caught up.
Lit up.
Did he get hurt?
No, lit up. You know, he was in Colorado in one of those Colorado days, you know,
yeah.
3 1/3, and, you know, goodbye, and he took the loss.
Yeah, that's pretty rare. I mean, the guy's never been on the DL. I think he's got more wins and starts than anybody since he joined the Reds several years ago. He's just a guy that goes out there and gives you a good outing almost every time.
Yeah, I like him, and he's a character from Key West. He's a, you know, musician.
Yeah. And he had these great quotes about San Francisco, very, very open about how much he loves it here and the diversity and the eclecticness of it all, as he said, and made it pretty clear that if the money was right, he would come here as a free agent.
Yeah, and apparently the Reds, you know, they have a lot of young pitching. That Cingrani is there and Bailey.
Yeah.
They've got people that don't have to go anywhere. So I don't think they're going to re-sign him. I think he is going to be on the market. I really do.
Yeah, like you say, and again, Mike Leake, and they've got a lot of pitching and some more coming up. So I would expect him to switch teams, and it would be a shame if he didn't come here. Everything's shaken down.
Yeah, Cueto will be back, too, for them at some point.
Yeah, they're looking pretty good there.
You know, this time of year, for me, is always fun. And, you know, August and the trade deadline passes in July. But then, of course, August 31st is critical. Look what's happened this week. The Pirates are going for it. Justin Morneau today, and Marlon Byrd, and John Buck, and Kubel goes to the Indians, and Axford is traded, and Michael Morse, and all this kind of stuff. You know, there's only 7 hours to go, and I asked Chris Taft, do you think the Giants could do anything? Because all of a sudden, Lopez is pitching a whole inning now. Maybe they're trying to showcase him somewhere.
Well, if I'm a Giants fan, I really hope that doesn't happen, because I don't think there's any reason to, you know, have a lot of long-term panic about this organization. I would expect them to be in contention next year. And if that's the case, man, you need you need a couple of really good lefties, and this is a guy who'll stare down anybody, Prince Field or Ryan Howard. It doesn't matter. He's ready for that. So that'd be a big loss. Did Morneau go? Where did he go?
Pittsburgh.
He went to Pittsburgh? Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Now, I'm not sure what they need with him because, you know, I mean, Garrett Jones, yeah. Could play, and it seemed like they had something going there.
Well, they've had 20. I ran into a Pirates fan of it last night down here at a local restaurant, and he called it 20 years of infidelity. But, they're finally coming into prominence. It looks like they're in, but they're not leaving anything to chance with Bird and Morneau. I mean, they want to take a run at the whole thing. The National League pennant's definitely there for them if they're playing well at that time. You know, it's not like anybody's super powerful. The Dodgers certainly look good, but they can all be had. And the Pirates have an incredibly good, fun thing going there. Fantastic ballpark, and I hope they get into the NLCS. I really do.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Larry Kruger, he teases me all the time. He says, well, I say pitching, meaning me, and he says hitting. And then, we go back and forth on this all the time and, on Twitter and all that. But I looked it up this week. I mean, just look it up. The top five teams in the National League are all playoff teams, and they're all pitching. They all lead in pitching. Starting pitching, I don't care what it is. Those are your top teams.
Well, yeah, you don't have to explain that to people around here. I mean, that's why the Giants have two rings out of the last 3 years. And, why they still, with a couple of breaks, they could load up again next year with another good staff. It could easily happen that way.
Yeah, so, just proving my point, you have to pitch first.
Yeah.
And then you do have to hit. Let's face it, you have to hit.
Yeah, my whole background is, growing up in L.A. with a Koufax, the Drysdale Dodgers, and more often than not, outlasting these unbelievable Giants teams with Mays and McCovey and Cepeda, and then Jim Ray Hart but the pitching, that's my whole upbringing, is that pitching will win along with smart ball and defense, and it's not as sexy as a team that hits the heck out of the ball, but it usually it will prevail if you've got the rest of it. The fundamentals, the situational hitting, and the defense down.
Yeah, and that's what makes a winner. And I know sexy is a good word.
Mm-hmm.
The home runs and all. Yeah, you do have to hit. There's no, you can't not hit and get through October. Because you're playing the best pitchers.
It's pretty staggering to think that the Giants have had great power teams almost an unending run since '58. Since they moved here, they've had great power teams. There's a couple of gaps in there. But to think that they didn't win it all until 2010 should tell you something.
Yeah. Well, it does. You got to pitch. Well, so we got into it, so I'm going to stick with it. Edinson Volquez, this sneaked by me. Padres released him. The Dodgers signed him.
Yeah, well, there's a guy with a ton of talent. He's really up and down. You don't ever quite know what you're going to get from him, i.e. released by the Padres. But, of course, they're not going anywhere. There's no future for them or him down there, but he could give the Dodgers a few good starts. And it's not that they're going to really need him, I don't think, in September. I think Arizona is pretty much fading out of the deal, but that's an interesting call by them. And I love the way teams are loading up. Baltimore, that's a great move in getting Morse.
Yeah.
They've been picking up guys all the way along. And they're serious about it. That's exciting.
Yeah, the Volquez thing for me, it's next year. They said they're going to use him out of the bullpen, which is another power arm out of the bullpen.
My God. Brian Wilson may never get in there.
Really? But you look at next year. I mean, you got Capuano or someone like that, and you put Billingsley will be back. What's wrong with having this guy? I mean, if the Giants grabbed him, I would have been thrilled.
Yeah, well, tremendous stuff. He really does. I mean, I'd way prefer him over Capuano and Billingsley at any time.
Did you see Puig this week with Mattingly? Mattingly pulled it. Did you see the tape of that one where he pulled him out of the game?
The film was really disturbing. And basically, this is a guy who really doesn't care about anything or anybody. He's above it all. He's got so much talent. And sure enough, yesterday he hit some leadoff, which I thought was smart, and he has a great game. And he's going to have great games, and he's going to have more incidents like this. I've heard from a number of people that some of the teammates are really exasperated with this guy because to go out there and look like you don't care, it's one thing to try to stretch a single into a double and get thrown out or throw the cutoff man and sail it into the stands or whatever, but you're just trying maybe a little too hard to be great, but But to be nonchalant, that doesn't work. That doesn't fly. That's weak. They can't have it.
No, and they talked to him because he said the right things after the game. They got to him. But last night, 4 for 5, a couple of stolen bases, a double. You know, before you knew it, it's one of those games. And they let him off. They put him in the leadoff spot last night.
Yeah. That was interesting. I mean, they might stick with that. I mean, Lord knows when Kemp comes back, they're going to have plenty of power in the 3-4-5. So, geez, to think leading off with that guy, my goodness.
Wow. This playoff's going to be interesting. You said it. Liriano last night, 7 innings, 2 hits. It's the fifth time this year he has gone at least 7 innings, 2 or fewer hits. I think the modern record is 7 by Ron Darling, something like that.
Yeah.
And the Giants pounded him last week. And it's a funny game, isn't it? It's a funny game how it goes from week to week.
Yeah, and you need kind of a sick sense of humor around here this year.
That brings me to a good point, and that is, you know, I took this trip down to Paso Robles and Cambria and, you know, Cayucas and Pismo Beach and then back through Carmel and all this stuff. You know, I talked to everybody. And there are Giant fans all over the place, and no one is despondent.
Yeah, that's great. I'm really glad to hear that because that's how it should be. I mean, we've had it unbelievably good here.
Yeah.
Baseball is not a game that rewards you, you know, with the throne, you know, every year. You don't get to spend every winter talking to everybody about how your team, you know, crushed everybody in the playoffs. It just doesn't work that way. We've had two great winners like that. Who knows? There might be more. There's every reason to believe there could be. And when it doesn't happen, that's baseball. I mean, those are true fans who get that, you know. As opposed to the people who are constantly complaining and whining and tweeting and emailing and calling and something's always wrong. I love the flip side of fans who go a little deeper on it.
Yeah, it was really, and so I threw it out to the audience today and you know, I said, you remember Gary Radnich show his kids around? He said, I could walk out on Hawthorne Street and yell Guillermo Moda and no one will turn around. Well, I guarantee you walk out in the middle of Union Street or wherever you do and you scream Brandon Belt,
people
are going to turn around.
Oh, sure. I mean,
it's a different world now.
Yeah, it really is, and just living down here in Half Moon Bay, that you know, we know an awful lot of families through school, and the kids and the wives are what impressed me so much. They're so into it. So, you know, the whole family. The game that night is a big deal. If they can actually go to the game, and that's just Valhalla, you know. But the Giants are a nightly thing. You know, right now tonight. You know, I mean, whenever they're playing, it's really caught on, and there's nothing quite like the rhythm of a baseball season, and it's the real key is to appreciate it all the way through, whatever may happen. Now, if you're a Cubs fan, that's a little different. You'd like to have at least one, you know, just one time.
Well, it's so funny. Every time I look at last World Series appearance before I was born.
Yeah, 45?
Yes.
Oh, my, yeah. I mean, come on now.
You know.
And yet, you know, Marty, I mean, you've been to Chicago and Wrigley Field. The scene there is fabulous.
I know.
Mean, it's not like a ghost town. You'd think there'd be tumbleweeds blowing across the field. But the people there are just
they
totally
love it.
Yeah, well, next year will be a different story. I tell you, I kind of like this group, you know.
You know, I went to Swan's East Oyster Depot last night. You know, just a great San Francisco place.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's just great. So, you know, I'm sitting next to a woman, and she's a Red Sox fan and a Giants fan the whole way. But she started in with that story about, you know, as a Red Sox fan, you never got excited because you knew they were going to break your heart.
Mm.
And this is, you know, someone's been a fan, you know, her entire life.
Yeah.
But that's the way and now they've won 2, and they still worry about it.
I remember talking to some New Englanders after the Red Sox broke through in 2004, and they didn't quite know what to do with themselves in the winter. It was so delightful. All that Calvinist misery had disappeared, and they almost wanted it back in a weird way. They didn't quite know how to act.
Yeah,
know?
That's the way she was acting. She said, well, no, I'm used to it, and I'm ready for it. I said, well, look, the Red Sox are doing okay. She says, no, just wait. I said, okay. Hey, Pagan is back. That was nice to see him.
That was wonderful. Yeah. God, it's just, he's got so much presence, you know, just to watch him step up on his way to the batter's box, you know, or dancing off first base or after he makes a play in center field. He came into the season with so much momentum, you know, the world title and the World Baseball Classic in Puerto Rico, you know, leading off center field, so much pride, and that inside the park homer was one of the great moments of any season, and all of a sudden he vanishes, and we realize now, how much he meant to the team. I think that you can't put it all on that. I mean, it would speak very poorly of your organization to lose one guy and you fall apart. But it's an ingredient that was missing, and to see it come back is really, really invigorating. And I think gets people more excited about next year, because he says he's over it and he's still, doing his exercises. He'll probably have to do them, really every day, all winter, every winter, but every day of his life. But it's exciting. He's an exciting ball player. He's got a ton of presence, and that makes for a special talent.
Yeah, it's noticeable.
Yeah.
It's noticeable seeing him back. So, all right, what's your day like today? I'm sure you got a million things to do.
I was watching little Johnny Manziel there and a little tennis, and now I'm heading over to Cal to cover the Cal Northwestern
game. Oh, good for you. Good.
Which should be a frightening newspaper deadline tonight.
Really?
Why they play these games at night, Marty, I'll never know.
Now, what time does the game start tonight?
It's a midnight start, Marty. It's,
okay.
No, it's 7:30, which will probably be like 7:48, on the
God.
Real side. And,
yeah.
Oh, my God. But it'll be I'm excited about the game. I wish I didn't have to write in a frantic hurry, which I'm sure I will be at in the fourth quarter. But, I didn't see the new Cal offense against a good Northwestern team. That's very cool.
Yeah, and you'll see Andy Baggerly over there. He took the weekend off just to go to this game.
Well, I hope he's in the stands. I hope he doesn't have a laptop in front of
him. He made no bones about it. He said, "I'm going." That was it.
So. I think I'll find him and maybe grab a beer with him.
Is it a glass of Clamato juice? Is that a Clamato?
Well, yeah, probably a little Tang since I'm working.
Okay, all right. All right, have a wonderful afternoon. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You bet, Marty. Talk to
you
then.
All right, thanks. That's a great Bruce Jenkins right here on KMBR 680. We'll come back, take your calls, 808-KMBR.